Thursday edition. The Out of the Darkness and Onto Our Show edition, as Ian O'Connor scheduled to appear to discuss his Aaron Rodgers book edition. The Tausch is back in his undisclosed location. No one is trying to sidle him with a minivan. No one is asking him how's his view from the parking deck. He's in his sunshiny place with a sunshiny face edition. And the, all right, Jesse, you told people to pull up on you at the Brewers game last night. Brewers pulled out a victory. But did anyone pull up, or were you pulling up on other people? Edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. Has anyone pulled up on you in the studio?
I don't like the pull. I think when you pull up, you don't pull up on someone.
I think that's where it seems like an invasion of space. I think that's where it began. Pull up. No one has pulled up on Jesse. We pull up to Mark Tauscher, the Packers Hall of Famer, from his undisclosed location. Hi, Tausch. How are you?
I'm good, man. So, Jesse, nobody pulled up on you last night, huh?
Not one. Nope. Nobody said hi, which is okay. There were plenty of people there that we knew. A lot of people from the Good Karma Brands family in attendance in Section 230 last night.
What kind of crowd we have last night?
I would have thought the stadium would be a little more full for a big game against the Dodgers.
Was there 30,000? Was there 20,000?
I don't actually remember what the attendance was. I was not paying attention when they did the guest
attendance.
They don't
have that little snowblower deal that runs through and spits out what the attendance is?
I think they do it differently there than they do at Lambeau, but I was not paying attention at the time that they announced the attendance. I was in the bathroom.
Okay.
So,
are you okay?
Yeah, everything's great. Yeah, we're good. I just had to pee. So I did not see what the attendance was for the night.
So did you stay for the whole game?
We did dip out a little bit early. I knew you were going to ask. We did dip out a little bit early.
How on earth? So all I see this morning, Devin Williams comes in, and he shuts the door with Ohtani, Betts, and I think Freeman, right? A murderer's row, if you will. And Jesse, you can't stick around. You drive down there. You complain about all this stuff, big market, blah, blah, blah. And you don't even stay to watch a great Milwaukee Brewers victory because what? What did you – did you not want to drive in the dark? What was the reason?
No, that's you. I'm good driving in the dark. I drove us
home. I ain't leaving that game early.
The group I was with
– at that point.
The group I was with was eager to get home. And so I was outvoted in staying until the end of the game.
Oh.
Well, who has the car?
Quickly threw everybody under the bus there.
Well, I mean, it was the longest nine-inning game of the year. It was the second inning, and we were, 1 hour in. And we were like, how is this? Like, I thought baseball was fast now. What the heck happened? So I'm not on Jocko's team anymore. No such thing as too quick of a game.
Before you completely soil yourself with not staying for the game, what would be a good crowd for a Wednesday night and guys like Jesse, who's supposed to be young, staying out? What's a good crowd for a Brewers game on a Tuesday, Wednesday night?
It's a great question.
Because I have an idea of what the attendance was. Someone just shot it to me.
It just came across your desk?
They know what the hell they're talking about. Yeah, they know what they're talking about. So I just want to get a gauge, because Jesse didn't think the ballpark was very busy last night. Jason, what would make a ballpark busy?
And what's the capacity? Is it 40?
It's 40 something, like low 40s.
It used to be 42.5 was like sellout range. I don't know if that's still the case with the changes they've made.
They chiseled a little bit away with some of the golf and some of the other stuff. So I think let's just call it 40.
I would say 29,000.
Okay, well, they're over that.
Well, then that's good.
So for Jesse, Yeah, that's. I was surprised when Jesse said that because watching it on TV, it looked like it was a good crowd. Jesse, I don't know if you know what the hell you're talking about.
31,084. 31,084.
Yeah. That's a good crowd when for you're Tuesday night.
When you're competing for it's a Wednesday. When you're competing for the number one seed in the National League and you're playing the Dodgers, I don't think there should be enough room where our group of four can comfortably say we're in the seats in row 10 and we're kind of packed in with all the people that are around us and we're going to go scoot two sections down and have some wide open seats to sit a little more spaced out.
If I may, do you feel like you're qualified to criticize those who chose not to attend the game when you chose to leave the game early of a 5-4 game?
Yeah, it was
like,
a great
it wasn't
game.
Like 10
yeah, in a
great
thrilling
game.
Game. Yeah. A great comeback.
Great game. Fun game.
Feels a little bit
had a little bit
hypocritical.
Of everything. Even had a runner miss second base and the appeal and they got him. You never see that.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I loved listening to Rock last night. I mean, he was mad about that blocked plate. You know, he's obviously an old catcher.
So was Pat Murphy.
And normally he is pretty down the middle. I think he's a really, doing this as long as he is, he's not like Johnny Brewer Homer to the nth degree. But he was mad. Like, he was hot under the collar when that didn't get. What a throw by, I don't know, the center fielder for the Dodgers. I don't know. To throw it old
Kiermaier.
Boy was something else.
Kiermaier. Heck of an arm.
Dazzling detail.
I know that because I was there.
Yeah, you were still there for that play.
That
so
was early.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, so I guess the question I have before I start getting after you too harshly is, do most people leave early? Look, my parents, when I was growing up, the company my dad worked for had box seats by the visitors on deck circle. And once or twice a year, we would get the chance to sit in those seats. I went to a fair number of games, sometimes by myself, as a kid, just to be able to go to the games. But when you would sit in those seats, like Reggie Jackson and Ricky Henderson and Cal Ripken were like, they had the donut on the bat and they were warming up in the on-deck circle 4 feet from you. And yet, my parents would always require us to leave early to beat the traffic. Didn't matter if it was a 4-4 game in the eighth, we're out of here. And I don't have to deal with traffic now in my job because by the time I leave Lambeau, everyone is gone. So I understand traffic is a
grinder.
Bear.
Hashtag grinder.
No, that's not what I mean.
Yeah,
I'm trying to be clear.
Kudos
that it's
to
easy
you,
for me to say that I don't have to beat the traffic because I don't have to
you
beat the traffic.
You leave Bucks games when you're sitting courtside. I'm sorry, you can't criticize Jesse here. You leave courtside
we didn't leave
Bucks
the,
tickets.
No, that's not.
You did.
No, we
you
didn't.
Left the game early.
No, we didn't.
But you did.
No, we didn't. We left a different game early when Maddie was finishing ballet.
Jesse, do we not do a whole segment on Jason taking David Gruber's courtside seats and he left the game early? Did we not do that?
I believe what he said was he didn't want the courtside seats.
I appreciated them.
I'm not going to stick up for you. Jesse, you know what? The hell with you. I'm not sticking up for you. You two go ahead. Do your thing.
Don't be that way.
No, it's ridiculous. Continue.
All right. All
Jesse,
I'm saying
great
is,
job getting home on time. Blah, 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 blah.
All right, well, tell us about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, and we'll move on.
No, continue on. I have no idea why Jesse is so afraid of you. Like, it's really weird dynamic.
All right, we're being derailed. I'm sorry that you're frustrated with Jesse's fear
I come
of
to
me.
Stick up for Jesse as you're getting after him. You left David Gruber's courtside seats early.
I would agree that Jason is the last person
the
who can criticize
level.
A fan doing anything because he just doesn't
right,
understand.
Right, because I'm not a fan. Yeah, I wasn't criticizing anyone. I was asking a question before I was rudely interrupted, and that is, how many people are like Jesse? And they leave early, no matter what, because they don't want to deal with the traffic. Is that commonplace? How commonplace is it?
So
that's what I'm asking. I'm not judging anybody.
I'm judging you. You're judging.
I'm judging. No, I'm not. I'm judging Jesse.
You're judging your parents First off, you're judging your parents for forcing you to
leave
games early.
So they don't know.
When you were trying to get
judging,
Ricky Henderson.
I'm judging Jesse for criticizing the crowd when he himself left early from a close game.
Okay.
That I will admit to judging him for.
Okay. I showed up and we watched a good 8 innings of baseball.
Well, maybe other people didn't have time for that. They couldn't come to the game. They were busy last night.
Hmm. I would like to say that I don't often critique fans for leaving early. I don't know if I ever have, actually. Because I do think there's a different perspective. When I was a kid, you know, when my dad was an usher at old
what?
Miller Park back in the day, and I would go, I would be very disappointed. If
Why
a game,
don't we ask Jesse's dad this question? He would actually have some, some dad.
If
there was some type...
Text Jesse!
If there was some type of time warp where I was also a kid in right center field sitting at the game last night, seeing myself on the other side leave, I would criticize me for leaving early. But I think it's a different perspective when you're driving over an hour to get home if you're in the Madison area, or if some people come from La Crosse or Wisconsin Rapids or wherever you're coming from. It's different than when you live in Waukesha or Maguanago or Racine or whatever. Like, it's a different trip home.
Mequon. So what about Mequon?
If I don't think...
What if you're in Mequon or Grafton?
Yeah, that's all good. Like, you should stick
Owen
around
Withy.
To the end of the game. But everyone, you never know what people have going on in their lives. If you have to get home to the kids, if you have to get home to the, like, that's why they start the games at 6:40 during the early and late part of the schedule. That's why
they've
tried to speed up
the game at all.
So I accept that we left early in a great baseball game last night that the Brewers won, and I missed Devin Williams. I did hear Uke on the call for the ninth inning in the car, which was fantastic. He still got it. But yes, we did leave early, and I'll wear it if I need to.
You do. Okay. Now, do you think you are, like, when you left, what was the situation when you left?
We left in the eighth inning. So the Brewers had
top
the lead.
Eight?
Yeah, we watched the top of the eighth, and then we took off right after that.
Were there a lot of others? So the Brewers had a 5-4 lead.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you get up.
Mm-hmm.
How many... Like, were they streaming to the exits, or were you an outlier?
We got out pretty easily. So I think the majority of fans at the game last night that were there, which is 31,000. I don't know if it was actually 31,000.
31,084.
That's paid tickets, I believe, right?
Wow.
All the ones that were there, it would appear, stayed to the end. So
die hard.
Kudos to everyone else. But we did get out early, and we did beat the traffic, I guess. So,
you know. What was the cause? Since we're remembering old segments on the show, what was the concert where you were stuck in traffic forever, Tausch? You went and saw someone
Morgan
at...
No. One of them I got out, but I waited until the last song played. Everybody was getting... And I had parked strategically back further, and I told everybody else, meet me at that Miller or AmFam Field signage right down where you're at the back end, so you're not getting all the cars pulling out. So I sprinted, in quotes, out, and I had Sarah and the other couples we were with, I gave them like a GPS spot to meet me so that we could get out once we got. So it wasn't like a sense of, because nobody wanted to leave the concert early.
Sure.
I only leave games early if they stink. I'm not going to leave a game early if they don't stink. Matter of fact, I have been asked multiple times from the AmFam security staff to leave the stadium because I love staying there longer. I watch Iowa
leftovers.
Play basketball on a Friday in the women's NCAA Final Four. There was some other event that I'm watching on TV. I think it was a Bucks playoff game. Will you please get out of here? So I'm the opposite of Jesse.
All right, we're going to pull this. There's probably a crowd that always leaves early.
I would also say if I was there with Tier 1 Tyler and all the Tier 1, you know,
he's throwing
friends,
back under the bus.
We're
he's
staying until the end.
Here we go.
When I'm with a group
there
of three other people who are not big baseball fans and can't name anyone on the team other than Yelich as we're getting to the stadium.
Sounds like they're not very good pickleball players either.
Well, maybe, yes. Then,
boy.
You know, there's extra factors that play into whether I chose to stay or not.
In essence, what you're saying is...
A.J. Dillon, stop talking.
You're fire. I hope Becca. Good thing Becca doesn't listen religiously, because you are. You think I got after Sarah on Monday or Tuesday? That's nothing compared to what you're doing right now.
Yeah.
Again, at least he owns it.
Jesse, who Devin was Williams? Driving the bus last night as far as saying we want to go? Was it Becca?
It was three. I'd say it was a collective. When I'm with this group of three, it's often a collective group unanimous decision. And I look over, and you know, we're sitting in 2:30. No one's coming to pull up. And I look over to them, and they're all kind of sitting there on their phones, scrolling around, looking around, like, all right, what time is it? 9:30. We thinking about getting out of here. Okay, so. I would not pin it on one person in particular, but it was more of a collective effort that I got the memo that it was time to get going.
Okay, well, it's time for us to get going off this topic, but we will get a poll in the field. An interesting window into what it's like to be Jesse Nelson. It's not nearly as nice of a window or front entry door as you can get from Pella.
Well, how do you say welcome to your guests? You invite them in for a 9-inning baseball game, and they could stay for the whole thing. Or it could be like Jesse and head out. But you do say it with a new entry door from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. You can say it with color. The possibilities are endless thanks to Pella's custom colors. And you also say it with class, unlike Jesse leaving the game early last night.
Ooh.
Pella's premium doors stand out due to their distinguished craftsmanship. And you say it with a great deal. Not 3 years anymore. It is get 0% interest for 5 years. That's 60 months. No money down and equal payments across the board. Hurry up, though. This offer ends. We're already halfway through August, for Pete's sake. I don't understand
possible?
How fast this goes, but it is. Certain restrictions do apply. You got about 15, 16 days to get this deal rolling. Visit PellaWI.com to learn more.
Did we, while you were busy complaining about the crowd and the number of people that were there, and then we were criticizing you for leaving early, did we get to this big gripe that you have about the in-stadium experience?
We did not, no. And okay. I think this goes, I think this might pertain
quite
to
a trip.
Every stadium in the state of Wisconsin, and we've got to change what I experienced last night.
That sounds like a tease. Jesse will explain what he's talking about. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
So, I don't think the lovely and talented Sarah Tauscher was listening the other day when the discussion of the gas tank was held, but she is listening today. And she poses an important question. Even I wouldn't want to leave a close game, and I don't think I can name anyone on the team. You knew where you needed to drive home to when you went to the game. Did you always plan to leave early?
Great question.
She asks the great questions.
We did.
And I think the real question is how much gas was in the tank.
Did you have to stop at Quick Trip on your way?
We stopped at Quick Trip on the way to the game.
From Milwaukee to Madison without stopping.
We stopped at Quick Trip on the way to the game, and we almost missed first pitch. We did not, but we almost missed first pitch because we had to stop on the way. So I empathize. We did not plan to leave early, but when the game was dramatically slower than many other Brewers games this year, we realized about the sixth
inning. You're
welcome, inning,
Jocko. Jocko, you're welcome.
Last night was a Jocko special. It was a nice long baseball game. When we realized it was the sixth inning and we were a little over 2 hours in, that we thought we might be in a situation where we'd have to make some decisions. Yes.
Mm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what was your, because I'd like to try and keep on the clock today since we have Ian O'Connor coming on at 11 o'clock to discuss his book Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. The mystery that is currently in front of us, though, is what is your gripe with the in-stadium experience?
They don't show any replays anymore.
What do you mean?
Like, the runner comes around second base, Joey Ortiz, I think it was, misses second base, and everyone's wondering what the heck's happening, and there's no replay on the video board. They got three video boards out there now. There's not a single replay anywhere. And the only replay I think they showed all night was a home run that was hit, because it was like an inning later or a half inning later they could say how far did it fly. But they don't have any replays of any kind. You can't do that. And I don't know if it, at first I thought it was just the thing where they weren't showing the negative replays.
Right, that's what I was just about to ask.
Which is also irritating. Like, we're all here. We all saw the Dodgers just hit a home run. Just show us the home run again. Or show us the double. Or if there's a close play.
There's a close play at home.
Show
the home run again.
Sure.
Am I right?
But if,
the window's closed because he's with the Dodgers.
Jesse, did you realize Shohei's so fast? I didn't know he was a base stealer.
He's the best player in baseball.
Yeah, he's good. Well, I know he's good. That's why the Dodgers are going to win.
But like, when you're at a Packers game, or when you're at a Badgers game, when you're at a Brewers game, or a Bucks game, or any game, I hate when they don't show a close call that doesn't go the way of the home team because it negatively impacts the team. We're all here experiencing the game. Just show the replays of what's happening. And the fact that there's no replay at all at the Brewers games is baffling. I don't know what the deal was with that last night. Like, you got to be able to show when there's a close play at the plate or there's a guy rounding second base and you got to review it.
Not enough time in between pitches. Not enough time. You got to keep it moving.
There's got to be something we can do on that front. Like, they used to do it all the time. I don't know what happened and what changed, but you got to be able to see replay. If the in-stadium experience, we talk about how TV is impacting the in-stadium experience for football and basketball and baseball certainly too. You've got to be able to show replays at these games. And even if they're negatively impacting the home team, you can't take away from the experience and censor that something just happened and you don't want to show it to the fans anymore. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Why don't you get your little baby phone out? You can watch the replay on your baby phone. Just be like you're sitting at home with your family. Then you get to watch the game, and you got to watch the replays on a baby phone.
Well, that'd be like 3 minutes later. By the time you get to the streaming and everything, like, no. There's three video boards in center field. There's a big, giant video board in center field. There's the smaller, medium-sized board in right field, and there's the baby board in left field. There's three video boards. You can't show a replay of a close play at second base or when Kiermaier throws out whoever it was coming home in the first inning. You can't show us that? Like,
whoever it was.
I can't remember who it was because I didn't get to see a replay of it at all. Exactly.
That's where I was going. I would be curious for people who attend Brewers games regularly that listen to our program. I know we tend to be very Packers-centric here. But is this a valid criticism from Jesse, or is this he just wasn't looking in the right place or just missed the replays because he was going to the bathroom or getting a Coors Light or whatever it was that he might have been doing? Is this commonplace? I'm very curious about. Because at Lambeau, you see replays all the time. And they may withhold a replay if it's a play that could be challenged and go against the Packers. But they replay pretty much everything on the big video boards. So I don't know if this is a baseball thing or what. I'm intrigued by this. I'm going to get the poll in the field right now. How does this sound as a question? Today's Wildy and Tausch poll. Our boy Jesse Nelson left a thrilling Brewers game last night in the middle of the eighth inning. Which of these best describes you as a fan when you leave the games you attend? I never leave early. I rarely leave early. I only leave bad games, or I always leave early.
Really good poll. Really good poll, Jason.
Thank you. We'll get that in the field, and we'll get your responses to that. We need to get to Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike. I need to publicly thank him for letting everybody know how to pronounce my name that was listening to Greeny the other day. So I will get to that, and we'll ask him a few. I think they've I think they've talked about Aaron Rodgers once or twice on their program. I wonder how that goes over. What does go over well is a great night's sleep, and it starts with your new Tempur-Pedic from Steinhoffels. Tempur-Pedics are designed to make aches and pains a thing of the past by relieving pressure points and supporting the body like no other mattress can. Right now, you can save up to $700 on Tempur-Pedic adjustable base sets. A Tempur-Pedic Queen Hybrid mattress starts at only $48 a month when you use Steinhoffel's 60-month financing. Sleep better tonight on a new Tempur-Pedic from Steinhoffel's. Shop in-store or online at steinhoffels.com. Evan Cohen joins us next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch is brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tito's makes the good stuff for good times. Find recipes, videos, and more at titosvodka.com.
We'll get to Evan Cohen in a second, but I did get a tweet here from Magic Mike, who was also at the Brewers game last night. And he's backing Jesse up on multiple levels, by the way. Not only does he concur that there were no replays being shown, which was new, he said. That is not typical. So maybe they had some sort of replay glitch with their video boards.
Oh, glitchy.
Glitchy. He also said he left in the fifth inning because he had to get up at 4 a.m., but he listened on the radio. So okay. I don't know if Jesse had to get up at 4 a.m., but be that as it may. Joining us now from Unsportsmanlike, where he, first of all, is agreeing with Mark Tauscher when it comes to the improvement of a young quarterback and J.J. McCarthy missing the season. Saw that this morning. And corrects people on how to pronounce my name. It's Evan Cohen. Evan, good morning. How are you?
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good. Help me understand how I came up in the first place on Greeny, and thank you for letting Hembo know how to pronounce my name.
It's not pronounced Wild.
So basically, the soundbite with the coach was with you, was it not?
Oh, yeah, the vomit thing. That was what prompted it.
I know. Did Tausch just say Matt LaFleur as if I didn't know his name?
You struggled there. You didn't know who you were. Evan, didn't know.
No, you want to know the real problem? You want to know the real problem?
Sure.
Here's the problem. You guys never call me on time, which I don't actually care about. But what happens is I have to figure out my timing on things because I want to be able to concentrate as much as possible on this show.
I'm with you.
So I thought I timed it perfectly. I did not. And now I'm underground in a parking garage. Somebody's clearly drilling in this parking garage. There was somebody here who I haven't seen in a long time, worse the garage, that I couldn't actually say hello to because I'm on with you guys. And instead of saying LaFleur's name, I said the coach. As if I didn't know LaFleur's name.
Yeah. Okay. So is it take that much longer to say LaFleur or coach? And by the way, if we got to you on time, you'd still be on with us at this time.
No, but okay.
Fair?
No, okay. No, here's the thing.
Evan?
Fair? Mark? Here's the problem with that.
Oh, boy.
If you got to me on time, like specifically today, okay? So I actually stayed here in New York City last night at a hotel because we had a little bit of a team dinner last night, so I stayed over. I would have stayed in the hotel room if you got to me on time. Instead of going to
so the 3 minutes you had to get in your car. Hey, you're a busy guy. I get it. I don't have any problem with that. So can you explain
I'll answer the question. Yeah. So,
thanks.
So we played the soundbite about LaFleur vomiting, right?
Uh-huh.
You have something else to say, Tausch, before I finish this?
No. I just let me ask you this. You're on two, three national shows. You're a big star, and we appreciate you coming on. But if Matt LaFleur said puked or I'm sick of answering this, does it get the same run as vomit?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. The word choice you're saying for coach?
Yes.
Yeah, vomit is what coach. Vomit Matt brought LaFleur. Everybody into the table. Matt LaFleur, or the coach, as you like to call him.
No, coach. Yeah, I think a coach. Yeah, that's a good one. I think you're onto something. As much as I hate to agree with you on this, I do think you are onto something with that. But how Jason's name came up is that Hembo, who obviously is a part of Greeny, is the sound you just played. I said, you know, the question asked there by Jason Wilde, will.
Well, parking garage
and
issues.
I'm back. This is the other problem. When they get the car,
should have called you on time.
So I have to then monitor the phone in my hand to switch it back from Bluetooth to speaker.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It's a disaster.
Thank you for your service. What a warrior. Yeah. Well, man, we appreciate it.
Hi,
how are you?
So we should always be late from now on is what we've learned.
I almost just fell. I legit almost just fell. Oh, my God. This is a disaster. So I referenced that Jason was the one asking the question because I wanted to give Jason the credit and I wanted to shout out your show.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you.
Very nice of you.
I know you guys think is wonderful and funny and quirky, which he is all of the above, then stopped in his tracks, not because of what Coach had to say, but because of my pronunciation of said reporter and host name. And he could not believe that Jason's name was Wilde and not Wild. And guys, you know what I'm going to do now? I'm going to transfer you to Bluetooth.
Transferring call.
Okay.
I didn't know that man's name was pronounced Wilde. You're doing that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Before we go any further.
Jason, we played that audio and Wilde broke down here. Why he's Wilde and not Wild, and it comes down to German descent versus Norwegian
English descent,
which I don't know if we needed to know that, but we did. Yeah, we found that out.
Yeah. English, Wild, like Oscar Wilde. German, Wilde, like me. Two things for Evan before we move on to the J.J. McCarthy conversation he had. I know this is going to come as a surprise to him, but I'm going to support him on both these fronts. First of all, as someone who appears on all across all of our ESPN Wisconsin shows, there is a little bit of a challenge, and I am not, much like Jesse getting after people for not attending the Brewers game, I'm not going to be a hypocrite here. I never hit breaks on time. Now, some might blame their co-host.
Oh, I didn't notice.
I know. Some might blame their co-host. I wouldn't do that, but...
No.
As someone who expects calls, I am trying to thread a needle, too. I'm trying to get the dogs walked before I'm getting a call at 5:15 from Chris Larson for the Homer Hour, whatever else. So us not calling you on time, I totally understand why, and I will try to do a better job of getting to you at 9:30 or your time, 10:30, right on the tick. The other thing.
I don't actually care. I was just explaining myself.
It was a good explanation. The other thing, so when I would do Jen, Gabe, and Chewy hits, and Paula would take the girls to school and then get back while the segment was still going on, my phone would pick up her Bluetooth as she pulled in the garage, and I would be talking on her car while I was actually in the house. So... Totally understand what's happening to you now as well, although I'm not leaving a New York hotel. All right, now, J.J. McCarthy
You just made my schedule about your life. That's fascinating.
Well, I thought it was more supporting you because I could empathize with both situations, but view it as you wish. J.J. McCarthy is done for the year, and you and Chris Canty agree that for his long-term development... This is a blessing in disguise. Explain.
Yes. Well, because not as long as you guys, but I lived in the state of Wisconsin for 5 years. 4 in college and 1 working. That's why. And I'm being dead serious. How do we not look at what has gone on with the Green Bay Packers as the model for QB transitions, QB development? How do we not look at the best quarterbacks that we've ever seen in this sport? Tommy Brady was a backup to start for the entirety of his first season. He was not a first-round pick, as we know. Patrick Mahomes, a backup for the entirety of his first season. There was no temptation to play these guys. But most coaches do not have the job security to avoid the fan pressure
and The Temptations. And now Minnesota is forced, because he is not going to be active, into avoiding The Temptation and the fan outrage when Sam Darnold inevitably has a game where he throws a touchdown and three interceptions. That's why. And I've seen the Green Bay Packers, better than anyone, do it with Rodgers and then Love. And so, to me, that's the model for QB development. If you can have them wait, you have them wait. I believe, as Jesse knows very well, in training and clearance and growth and development. And if it's going to be someone's mistake made, have them make it where there has been training and development and it can be on someone else with you. And I think that is what's happening here in Minnesota. And I think yesterday was really bad news for the Green Bay Packers fans long term, because I don't think J.J. McCarthy can be ruined now. I think if he had to play initially and early, there's always a chance that a quarterback can be ruined if he plays too quickly. Now, that was a great answer.
So,
you have no arguments with any of that. That is tremendous.
Yeah, no, it's my theory. I've had this theory the whole time.
Theory?
And what the Packers have done.
You were on Packers or anything?
Just to, by the way,
this theory works.
Just to recap, I was setting that up because Tausch was going to 100% agree with you because he does have that theory. One,
I know,
and two,
I cut his legs out from underneath him. It was great.
Way to go.
I was supporting you and empathizing with you, and then he accused me of making it about me. So
yeah,
you're 0-2 on us trying to be nice to you.
You know the problem? Evan stayed out later than he usually does. He had the big Michelle Schmalman's dinner. He found out that he's living in a pet cemetery. He's not sleeping as well. And he's cranky. And he's ornery this morning. And that's fine. But, Evan, so when you look at this, the Bears aren't going to do it, right? They're not going to go down that road. The Panthers didn't do it last year. Now, the Texans, you could say, did it. And I think raging success. So there's always there's always like things that will kind of break that curve, but I would agree that it is the right way. I don't know if. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt, but
your segment.
Really interesting point. Yeah, I know. You brought up a really interesting point. In all seriousness, better chance in your mind of being ruined within 3 years, Caleb Williams or J.J. McCarthy?
Caleb Williams.
Mm-hmm.
A better chance of long-term being a superstar within 3 years, Caleb Williams or J.J. McCarthy?
Caleb Williams.
I agree on both. And so
it's a dice roll.
The feast or famine aspect of it, I think, hinges on playing right away. Like, I don't know if David Carr would have been a great quarterback if he got the chance to wait. I do know that when he was the number one pick in the draft by the Houston Texans, they had no offensive line, and he got, like, literally almost, like, killed as a result of that. Very handsome guy, by the way. Underrated.
Yeah, he's a handsome fellow.
Yeah. Don't you think? Like, we bring up guys like Jimmy G and Brady all the time and Cam Newton, as we should. Do you feel like David Carr, looks-wise, underrated? Go ahead. Give me a couple of minutes on that.
Does he paint his hair?
I don't think he needs to. He said it's beautiful. Look him up. He's got beautiful hair, that guy.
Beautiful hair.
Hello? Anybody home?
I'm just trying to think of his hair. I don't remember what his hair looked like. So
do you not have Google?
You had me bedazzled.
Bedazzled. I guess...
Bedazzled is not the right word.
That is not. No, it's definitely not. So I would argue, though, because I do think this is fascinating... 2 points. One, the Packers had the luxury of doing it their way because they had all-time greats in front of the guy that was coming next. And no team has had that kind
they
of
also
setup.
Had a, Jason, they also had a draft and make that all-time great super uncomfortable and pissed off.
Yeah.
And that ain't easy to do either.
That was helpful. There's no doubt about that. The other part of this is I think there are quarterbacks that would succeed whether you sat them or played them. And then I think there are quarterbacks.
Is Jordan Love one of them?
I don't know that because I watched him in 2020 and 2021, and my answer would be no. No, it would have gone very poorly, and it would not have been.
So if Jordan Love was thrown into the Bears situation, you're not feeling like Jordan Love is going to be the highest paid quarterback in 4 years later? Fair.
If he's Mitch Trubisky, sure. Now, that doesn't mean he's not talented, but he needed those circumstances and that time to grow, and Jordan will tell you that. Meanwhile, Justin...
By the way, knowing nothing, I agree with you, but I'm curious if that same logic, Jason, meaning knowing nothing, like I'm not there like you guys are, but I'm curious if that same logic approaches, like if you change the obvious circumstance, would the person still have been great? If Aaron Rodgers was the number one pick in the draft instead of Alex Smith, would he have had the same career?
I think so. I do.
Would have had the same guy coaching him, right? I mean, which, by the way, one of the weirder stories from that book, which I'm sure there's going to be a lot of them. But Mike Nolan is mad at Mike McCarthy because Mike McCarthy wanted Alex Smith and then ended up with Rodgers. Like, somehow Mike McCarthy could, like, see the future and figure that all out.
And then Mike Nolan went and worked for him in Dallas.
Yeah, Mike Nolan could not have come across worse. Mike Nolan came across like a whiny baby and a total you-know-what.
I know that's very off-topic, obviously, so let's get into Olympics. Go ahead, Tony.
Greatest shot ever, Christian Laettner. I still believe that that's the case. Evan, if you've obviously seen the book that's out. We have Ian O'Connor joining us at 11 o'clock. What would be the two things you're most intrigued about Aaron Rodgers, that would be in this book that maybe Ian was able to uncover?
All right. Did you talk to Jason Wilde? And if so, how are the conversations? And if not, why?
Oh, great question. Yes. Did he talk to you, Jason?
He did not.
He should have. Would you have? Would you have talked to him?
Yeah, I'm not. I don't know if I would have.
Why not?
Wow.
Well, you are the biographer. You would be, or could be, or should be the biographer of the Aaron Rodgers story.
Well, I am.
And he didn't ask you.
I am going to tell Ian when he joins us that as soon as he tweeted out the fact that he was writing the book, I did text Rodgers and say, "Oh, I see that you've got an autobiography coming out." To which the only word he responded initially was "unauthorized," which is about as Aaron Rodgers as it gets, right? Isn't that what you would expect?
Wait, let's talk about that for a second. Wait a minute, Tausch.
Okay.
You just brought up something very interesting. All right, now, Tausch, you and I are now tag-teaming here. Not against Jason, but we have to work together.
Good luck.
Like the Steiner brothers.
Canty versus Carlin or whatever. Yeah.
Are we natural disasters with earthquake and typhoon? Which
I ain't going to lie to you. The only tag-team group I knew were the Steiner boys, so that's why I brought it up.
Anyway, so Jason, up until 2 or 3 years ago, if somebody would have said to me, who should write the Aaron Rodgers authorized biography, I would say, well, you're joking. Obviously, it's going to be Wilde. I mean, Wilde.
Nicely done.
And that is blatantly obvious. But in order to write the authorized biography now, wouldn't you have to dive into areas that you personally, as a human and maybe as a writer, have no interest in going in? I don't mean non-football. You've always been fine with that, telling stories. But I don't know how you do it without being political and scientific in a way that, are you really interested in diving into that?
No, I'm not. And I've actually said that on a few of our ESPN Wisconsin shows.
What about that big check? What about that big check?
So here's
like that.
So all right, I'll
you want that big check, though, boy?
I'll tell this story.
$1 million.
You want that big check? Yeah, you do.
$1 million.
You want that big check, big fella? I know you do. Get that pool.
Jason Wilde, $1 million up front, writing vaccine stories.
Oh yeah. Oh, we like that, don't we, big boy? Yep.
Okay.
Let me know when you two are done.
We're good. Continue.
A heck of a tag team. Summer house in Oregon. Summer house in Oregon with the studio. Oh,
summer house in Oregon. Yep.
I'm paying for the summer house in Oregon with my Facebook Marketplace sales. Look.
He's selling hangers instead.
That's what happens when you don't get the book deal. So throughout his time in Green Bay, there would be things that would happen, or we would get done doing the show. For those 4 years, we did 45 minutes to an hour every time on Tuesday, And then we would sit for another hour in my office and talk. So there was a legitimate back and forth and a friendship that emerged from that. And again, I am thankful for Craig Karmazin forcing me to do that show, because I kept saying, ethically, I can't do this. I can't do this. And Aaron Rodgers, whatever you think of him today, back then, the first thing he said when we sat down for the first show is, I know your ethics matter to you. I will never tell you what you can and can't ask me. Whatever you want to ask me, and I will handle it. Okay? So that is the backstory. Now, throughout that time, yeah, things may be different now, I'm not sure. But throughout that time, he would tell off-the-record stories, and his line was always, that'll be good for the book. But I always believed, let me finish, I never believed that we'd actually do the book. Because this was stuff that I didn't believe he would want out in the atmosphere. And so I would always joke, I say, so I'm going to write this book, you and I will be the only ones that read it, that's not putting the girls through college. And we would laugh, and that would be the end of it.
Rodgers, anti-children, interesting.
Yes, he's a...
Oh, yeah, doesn't like your kids.
Wow. He sounds to me like he's a childless cat lady.
He's anti, he wants to get rid of the education system, interesting. Uh-huh.
Indeed. So, be that as it may, we did talk about that a lot. I never expected there to be a book. I never counted on there being a book. That's why I sell hangers on Facebook Marketplace, to have a side hustle. So I am fine with that. And to answer your question, I know you're not going to believe me, but I think my track record of having authenticity, I'm not taking $1 million to write an anti-vaccine, whatever it would require to do that. I can't do it. I can't.
What if you're just going to do his story? He has whatever flaws and faults,
I can't write his story.
You could tell it the best. Would you do it if he? It's all. It's
would,
everything you want
would,
to put in there.
I would.
You're
do
off
it.
Limits to nothing.
I would do it.
Wait a second, Tausch. You're forgetting. Wait a minute. Before you answer that, Tausch, you're jumping to something.
Yeah.
You got to listen. You got to learn to listen. Because what I took that as is Jason turned the book deal down, so Ian O'Connor got it.
No, that's not.
That's
what
not
I
what I heard, though. So you weren't listening the right way. You didn't hear what.
I'm thinking 11 o'clock. That should be said to Ian O'Connor. Did you get this book because Wilds turned it down?
No. All right. So I'd like to move on, if I may, and let Evan go, because he's probably trying to get home to his family after spending the night in a hotel in New York and having to wait for us to call him this morning. So we would love it if you got home safe and sound and got to see your family. And I will say,
before you go.
Hold on. I normally don't do plugs, but I do want to make sure tomorrow, just so everybody knows. So we do this series, ESPN Radio Two-A-Days, on all shows, where we preview two teams. Packers are one of the teams tomorrow, so there will be a lot of Packers talk across ESPN Radio tomorrow.
Don't do that on a Friday, though. Do that on a Monday. We get a full week.
Only you could complain about that. We have to do the Seahawks.
I ain't complaining.
Today.
I'm asking.
Complaining.
Yeah, put the Jaguars and the Titans on Friday. Put out the Packers on a Monday.
So
yeah.
They're so bad the other day. We had to do the Titans. So who cares?
My drive into work, I've heard some riveting Evan thoughts on the Cardinals and the Saints the last couple of days.
Yeah, I just imagine. So bad.
Check it out on the podcast section of the ESPN app if you want to get caught up. Thanks, Evan.
Thanks, guys.
All right. So much for keeping the clock
under
control.
It's always an adventure with him, isn't it?
It is.
It's just an adventure.
That was something.
Yeah, he was cranky today to start. You know, you could tell he was ornery, and you got to push him. And he kind of came around.
We didn't even really get to Mick Schnoot.
Yeah, I wanted to talk Pet Sematary. I think he is it IPT for him to dig up that that pet? I think it's not.
But for those that didn't listen and hear that story, Tausch can tell it a little bit later in the program. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Time and some time.
a wild ride.
Yeah.
So he's so can you for those of us that missed this segment briefly, he discovered that there are pets buried on his property.
I don't know about pets. So I think what happened is he's got a palatial estate, gated community, big swimming pool up there, and I don't know the exact address, and I wouldn't but they must have been doing some landscaping around, and there is a little stone placard with an, I think, Jesse, correct me if I'm wrong, it's called McSchnook?
McSchnut. McSchnut.
So it's R.I.P. McSchnut, or McSchnut lived here, blah, blah, blah. And Evan didn't obviously know that when he purchased the house. So he believes there is a dog buried in his front yard with the tombstone sitting there in a, I guess, rock bed in his landscaping.
Ooh. And the debate is whether you dig up the old, you dig them up or you leave them there?
Yeah, I think you dig them up, right? And then you talk to the previous owner and say, you know, this, we're starting our own, you know, legacy here. We don't really want a dead dog.
McSchnuckles or whatever his name is.
McSchnut.
Okay.
I mean, I know Jesse has dead turtles just floating around in his because he doesn't take care of them.
Yeah.
That's different.
I don't know.
This.
How do you track down the previous owner of your house?
What do you mean? There's records. You know,
well, right, but they moved. You don't have their phone number. Like, you're going to go to...
Well...
That sounds like a lot of work.
I think out of respect...
For McSchnut. Yeah.
For McSchnut. And if nobody gets back to you, you say, hey, this is what we're going to do. Let us know if you would like to retrieve this, you know, the
retrieve your golden retriever.
I don't think you're going to, like, bring the corpse of the dog over. I think that's a little bit goofy. But the headstone, the tombstone, I would think that the family would probably want to take that with them.
Well, why didn't they take it with them when they moved out?
I probably didn't think. Probably just were like, you know, deuces be, we're selling our crib. And we're
deuces McSchnut.
There's probably a bunch of underlying circumstances we don't know, but I don't think... I know I don't want a dead poodle living in my, or being like buried in my yard. I'm not interested in that. Now, if I would find one of those huge dinosaur remnants, like out in South Dakota, Jesse, like out in South Dakota. Where it's Sioux or whatever that dinosaur was, Sioux's, and then you have
Chicago,
all that others. You have all of those other different species that are no longer here. That would be awesome. Like, I'd love that, but not just some random dead poodle.
Well, it might be easier just to raise a glass or raise a Blue Mountain can.
What
or
would you do? Would you just leave it and not?
Of McSchnut.
What would you do?
I don't know. We do have a couple of hamsters that are buried with little headstones with their picture on them underneath a tree in our far back in our woods.
You put headstones out there, though.
Yeah, with their picture, yeah.
So when you move, after you write this Rogers book and you get this palatial estate, you know, in Ledgeview, do you take those headstones with you?
I think so, yeah. I think I might dig up Ollie and the other hamster, too.
I don't know if you got to dig up the dead hamsters, but if you do, raise a glass of Coors Light to Ollie and the rest of your hamster army buried in your backyard. Coors Light, brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged, so it's made to chill. And make sure those mountains are blue. That's when you know Coors Light's cold-activated bottles and cans are chilled to perfection. I think Green Bay's heading out there today. I would be shocked if they don't head out to Golden, Colorado, and check out that bottling, that beautiful plant. We checked it out when we were out there. It's Coors Light in my hand always when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company at Golden, Colorado.
We'll kick off the 10 o'clock hour in 2 minutes, so stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.